Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks, and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. I'm very honored and humbled that you are spending some time with us. This show is brought to you by Ramsey Solutions, and we are just honored that you're spending the day with us. We're taking your calls at 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283. And if you don't want to call in, that's completely fine. You can also email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. I hope your Christmas shopping is going well. Hopefully you're done. The Christmas countdown is coming to a close with only one day left until Christmas. Pretty cool things going on. Again, it's 866-357-3283. We're talking all about you, talking about your money, talking about your life, and all through the lens of the Bible. What does the Bible have to say about some of those situations that we're in? Some of the good things that we do with money, some of the bad things we do with money, and some of those not so brilliant things that we do in life and with money. Our first call is looks like we've got Eric calling in from Michigan. Eric, how are you?
Well, I'm feeling blessed and honored to speak with you, Chris.
Yeah, honor's all mine. How can I help you?
I've been hearing from I'm a new pet owner, and I have been hearing about pet insurance, sort of like human health insurance. I didn't know if that was a gimmick or if that's something that you look into to better get reimbursed for your pet's vet bills.
Yeah, Eric, not a good idea. Your intuition is correct. When it comes to pets, there's a lot of strong opinions out there when it comes to pets. It's amazing. A lot of folks have really strong opinions about pets, and then they don't have strong opinions about what I deem much more significant social issues. but reasonable pet expenses are okay, but any kind of extensive dollars that you're going to be spending on a pet that would require insurance, I would just throw this out here to our listeners. Those extensive expenses that go into a pet, mm-hmm. if it's really a lot, I would throw it out there that it might be a little bit selfish. Maybe it's you've got some kind of reliance on that pet that's so significant. So I could see if you're a millionaire, maybe spending a ton on a pet, but any extensive expenses that need insurance, man, I just don't get it at all. So, yeah, I don't think you need it, my friend. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. That's where our primary focus needs to be, and I don't believe that passage is talking about a dog.
I agree with it as well.
Yeah, Eric, we appreciate the call, and that's a good question. I think a lot of people were probably asking that, so thank you so much for calling in.
And thank you for your time, Chris.
All right, bye-bye. Our next call comes in from Denver, Colorado. This is Emily. Emily, how are you?
Hey, Chris. I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I am doing very, very well. How can I serve you?
Awesome. Quick question for you. I am in Financial Peace University working on my debt snowball, and I have about 5 things in my debt snowball right now, and I just got a letter from one of my credit card companies. Mm-hmm. that they are changing my interest rate from about, I think it's about 15% now to about 24%. And I'm just wondering if I should put my Christmas bonus towards that instead of finishing the first few in that snowball, since it is going to be a higher interest rate now.
Let's take a look
or
at it.
How I should talk to them about it.
Yeah, no, of course. I totally get it. So really what they're doing is threatening you so you'll pay faster. that's really the gist of it.
Feels like it.
Yeah. So how much is your total debt, Emily?
It's about $45,000.
Okay. And how many debts are there? How many individual debts?
Let's see. There are 5.
Okay.
Right now. I have one for $2,000, one for $4,000, one for $6,000. And then the evil credit card is $14,000. And then I have a car that's $16,000.
What's your income?
About $75,000.
Okay. And your current family situation?
I'm single.
Okay. All right. And what kind of lifestyle are you living? You live in like a $75,000 lifestyle, or are you living below your means?
That's kind of what I'm working on now, actually, in class. I'm trying to live a little more below.
Yeah, yeah.
Below to get these paid off, but.
Of course. Well, I think, you know, I would take advantage of the season you're in where you could live dramatically below your means. For me, I think from Denver, Colorado, I think, you know, it'd be very reasonable to live a $40,000 to $50,000 lifestyle, and you could attack all of these in the current smallest to biggest debt snowball order. So 2, 4, and the 6 are gone, like within the next 3 to 4 months, 3 to 6 months, gone. And so the 15% to 24% increase is not really that significant. I would try to rebuttal with them for a little while to try to prolong it. Because if you just prolong it 3 or 4 months, that's what you need to get to the $14,000 debt. So, you know, try to see if you can get some kind of stalling. While you're stalling, you're getting rid of the 2, 4, and 6,000. But I think just philosophically and conceptually for our listeners as well, we are talking about behavior change, which is going to change us, about not going into debt in the future and about attacking debt. Of course, Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. So what we want to do is get rid of the 2, get rid of the 4,000, get rid of the 6,000, because that'll give you so much more hope than paying off 6,000 off of your 14,000. Dollar credit card deal, and still have the 2,000, still have the 4, and still have the 6. You're going to be able to have more and more hope and see more light at the end of the tunnel by getting rid of the 2, 4, and 6 fast. And that's what's going to, in the long run, if you take all of these $45,000 in debt, put them all into a category, I mean, all into one little lump sum, you are going to pay less debt in the long term by making sure that you knock these out faster than by be worrying about this 9% difference on one of them. And so we just got to go back to the fact that this is about behavior change, not about math. If it was about math, you know, and this is not just for you, this is for all of our listeners, Emily. If it was really was about math, we wouldn't have gotten into debt in the first place. you know, if you think about it that way.
Right.
But you understand. So that, listen, here's the deal. And no, it's not about math. It's about behavior change. So paying off that first one will do much more for you. So, okay?
Got it. Okay, thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Emily. Folks, I still can't get over the dog call or the pet call. I just can't. I'm not ripping on Eric. I'm ripping on the fact that there is this concept out there of pet insurance. We don't have enough insurances now. I mean, I need an insurance for my car. I need an insurance for my health. I need insurance for my phone, insurance for my Christmas tree that I won't catch on fire. I need insurance for my Kleenex box. What else do we need insurance for, folks? Oh my goodness, right? This is why we have the emergency fund, the 3 to 6 months emergency fund. That is your insurance. Some of you guys are insurance brokers out there and you're mad at me right now, but you guys think it's silly too, right? Have insurance for everything? Come on, insurance for our pets? Folks, come on now. Let's spend less than we make and self-insure ourselves. So if we have a $2,000 expense pop up for a little Rover, we've got the money. Oh, killing me. Well, folks, we're talking all about your money and talking about your life and talking about all the different things that we, you know, have to deal with on a daily basis. And sometimes all it takes is a little encouragement to accomplish something big. For me, whether it was what to do about debt or family troubles or figuring out a career path, someone came along to help encourage me to take that next step. And that's what we want to do, not only with this show, but we want to encourage you with ongoing tips and articles and biblical education that inspires you to be intentional, well, in all areas of your life, with the stewardship.com newsletter. Visit stewardship.com today to sign up for that newsletter, and that's exactly what you'll do. You'll get tips, you'll get articles, you'll get biblical education, and you'll get inspiration. So make sure you check that out again at stewardship.com.
We appreciate you joining us today for Chris Brown's True Stewardship. If you have a question for Chris, you can email him at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Now we continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Next on the line from Pennsylvania, we have Eli. Eli, how are you?
Pretty good.
Good. How can I help you?
Taking my call, Chris.
Yeah, I'm honored.
First of all, I would like to ask all the listeners to give a prayer just for me because I started this journey and I'm getting a lot of negative feedback and people are just saying that you're not going to be able to complete it. It's just too hard. So I just want to take the opportunity so those who are listening could actually pray for me so that I'd be able to complete it till the end.
Okay, yeah. What's your specific question?
Well, the thing is, I started this whole getting rid of debt and completely trying to pay off all the debt. I just got to a point where I accumulated a lot, and we sat down and did a budget, and I realized we're not going in the right direction. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to take steps, and like Thanksgiving we worked, but we had enjoyed doing it because now we have a goal. So the thing is, I have a house that I built, put a lot of money into it, and has an apartment in there. I wanted to use it as investment. Now the we finally got the apartment done because we had relatives living in there. Now the apartment's done, and it's about it's a really good for me to be able to get this money. It almost pays for my mortgage. It's part of the house. There's an apartment. The thing is, I have an opportunity to sell the house and get rid of all the debt. So I don't know if that's a good way to go. And I would pretty much be completely debt-free.
Eli, how much debt do you have?
I had 190, but I went and my first thing I did is take the truck, give back the truck. So now I'm down to 148, so I'm excited.
Good job.
That's personal debt. That's not even including the mortgage. So
148 is outside of the mortgage?
Yes.
All right. And what? Just real quick, not in too much detail, but explain to me what the 148 is.
School debt, taxes, personal credit cards, and personal loans, like from relatives.
Okay.
All together.
What's your income?
It's around $80,000 to $90,000 a year.
Okay. And what do you think's holding you back? Because it sounds to me like it's not the house. The house is a break even every month. So how are you not gaining any ground in baby step two?
Thing is, what the whole thing I had, the way we grew up in the culture, everything, we had no, we didn't get taught. I always been praying, like, God, teach me how. Now I finally have this breakthrough, and I'm just completely going like a gazelle. And I see that I wasted a lot of money just for the now. I didn't care about, I just, you know, it kind of came in, left, and they left more. I paid all my guys with credit cards when I didn't have money because I wanted them to get paid. Mm-hmm. And then the interest rates, I have like 20%, 30%, and it just kind of kept accumulating year after year. And it's been like 15 years in the business, kind of got to that point where we're like, hey, if we continue, it's gonna be bad.
Yeah. And do you love the house?
We pretty much built the house so that we can stay there forever. That was our intention. That's why we put an apartment there. But now that since we're in the gazelle mode, we're like, listen, it's nothing's worth it. If we want to be debt free, if that means eliminating the house, we'll do it.
So what would you come out with the house?
I built my house pretty much myself. I invested almost $500,000 into it. If in a house, if it was in the next to houses that were the same, it would be around almost $800,000-$900,000. But the loan is only $250,000 is my loan. And so that 250, 950, so that would be 400,000. If I real estate, if they say I could definitely sell it for 400,000, it'll be break even. Basically, I'll pay off my debt and I will have pretty much nothing. But the thing is, the demand where I live, the location for renting, I could rent the whole house for $4,000, which is the same amount I pay for the mortgage. So it's completely, you know, it's just the demand is so high. We just started just to put on Craigslist, and people are just. They just want it so bad because it's just the demand is high and people are already trying to request it. And we're right in the football center of State College. So it's really a good spot.
Yeah.
But that's still not, for me, the desire to be debt-free is just number one right now. So, but if you say, because I'm going to start listening to advice because I tried 30 years without advice. Now, like, what you guys say, I'll do it because you guys know more than I do now.
Yeah, and it's really just, you know, looking at the scriptures and what the Bible says, and then also, you know, drawing from, you know, millions of people that we've helped here at Ramsey Solutions, and people have had similar situations as you. So I don't know if it's anything about, like, you know, anything magical about us. It's just drawing from the scriptures and some of the people that we've talked to over the years. Personal debt is the bigger issue. So this 148 that's non-mortgage debt, that's your first step.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I'm like, I actually don't mind going through this process. You learn to actually enjoy the hardship of paying that back because of what I borrowed, you know, because
yeah.
I sell the house and it'll just pay off everything. I won't actually go through that wonderful process of actually working like crazy to get rid of it.
Uh-huh. Here's the deal. There's nothing wrong with you selling the house. I just don't think it's not going to move the needle. What's going to move the needle is you living on $35,000 for the next 3 or 4 years.
20.
That's what's going to move the needle. And it sounds like you got that kind of intensity. I love it. Live off 20, but make it happen.
We just started for this month, and we're already feeling the change just starting because
business
is profitable too. So we're trying to my goal is to pay it off in 1 year. That's my goal. And God's been opening doors like crazy. He's giving this opportunity.
Well, here's the deal. You're inspiring folks, and people are inspired by your passion. And those that aren't supporting you, it's because they feel a little bit guilty that they should have the same kind of passion that you do. But I think we need to take some perspective from Paul, and this might encourage you, okay? Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. And this is when Paul was in pretty bad shape. He says, I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. And then he adds his own commentary for context. He says, I know how to be brought low and I know how to be abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And what you're explaining to me right now is the exact picture perfect textbook gazelle intensity that's necessary to climb out of this hole. And you're just going to have that same contentment that Paul has. But man, Eli, we are cheering you on. And let us know, man. I want to know. I'm going to say 2 years. You're saying 1 year, and we'll see who's right. Prove me wrong, my friend.
Okay, I will.
Way to go, Eli. Thanks for the call. Our next call comes in from Phoenix, Arizona. This is Veronica. Veronica, how are you?
I'm blessed. How are you?
Oh, I am better every day. How can I serve you?
Well, thank you for taking my call. My call has to do with, well, let me just give you like a brief synopsis. I'm self-employed. I make a moderate income. Earned much more up until about 2008 when I became ill and the two government contracts I had were pulled.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I have a moderate income. I went through a legal separation from my husband in 2008, suffered a great deal of depression as a result of that. As part of our settlement, we separated in part because I do not believe in divorce, although I had biblical grounds. And part of our settlement, he was to give me $5,000 toward a purchase of a vehicle because he wanted to keep the two community property vehicles. Unfortunately, I purchased a luxury vehicle. Unfortunately, the payments are $660 a month. My credit is not good. I have a high interest rate. I'm upside down in the vehicle by $10,000. And so now I'm living on limited resources because, when I say limited, I don't mean I'm not claiming poverty. I'm saying limited because my son is attending a private college prep high school. He's a junior, and he'll be in college in a year and a half. So my question today to you is, Chris, I want to get rid of this overpriced luxury vehicle. I did talk to a financial planner, and I told her I wanted to sell it or even have the finance company come and get it. And she said, no, you can't do that because you'll still have to pay that loan off. What advice do you have for me in terms of the best course of action?
Okay. And what is your income? You said moderate, but what is it?
Per year, an average of, between $60,000 and $80,000.
Okay. And how much is the car?
I owe $28,000 on it.
Okay. And how much is it saying that you can sell it for?
$17,000 to $18,000.
And is that a trade-in or is that private party?
Private party would be 18, the trade-in would be 17. And just so that you know, because I have a feeling you're going to go here, I did try to refinance it about 11 months ago, and I was declined because my credit's not good. And I have a box filled with unpaid medical bills because of some serious health matters. So I have, looked at my options, but I'm so determined that some kind of way supernaturally God is going to help me get rid of this debt.
Yeah, so your bad credit score, you're saying that's because of medical?
In part.
Okay.
When I legally separated from my husband, I lost my home and went into foreclosure. But, I'm not beating myself up. It is what it is.
Yeah. Do you have any other debts besides the car and the medical?
Medical and law school loans.
Okay. How much are those?
Law school loans are $102,000.
All right. So, obviously, having a $600 payment is not what we recommend, but the dollar amount is not the issue. It's not the fact that it's a luxury car. It's the fact that you couldn't afford it, no matter what it was. You have to make payments on it. And the way you know if you can afford something is if you don't have to make payments on it, you can buy it with cash. How do you get out of this with a bad credit score? Because what I would say, first of all, is get a $12,000 loan from a bank and go buy a $1,000 clunker and pay off the difference. And just take the hit, drive that for 3 or 4 years, and then, drive the clunker for 3 or 4 years, you make up for your mistake. Ideally, if you can get someone to loan you $12,000 or $13,000, looks like here $12,000 probably, and buy a clunker, that's the way to go. But what is your lowest debt that you have, like the lowest balance?
So the lowest debt I have right now is about $783 in credit card debt.
If you can't get out of the car, you've got plenty of other things you can work on. The biggest thing that's going to win here is you're making between 60 and 80. So let's just say 70,000. You want to get your lifestyle, starting with where you live, and try to get your lifestyle down to 20 or 30,000 and get it as low as possible. And you might even have to say, hey, Junior, you can't go to the private school anymore. I'm sorry. This is just the way it is. And that's a luxury. You know that the private school that your child is going to is more of a luxury than the car you're talking about.
Correct, it is.
Yeah, it's just a different luxury. It just looks different and it feels better. But you might have to say, I'm sorry. I mean, a perfect world, ideal world, you'd be at an amazing private school, but I don't know what to tell you. And that private school is probably costing you, what, over $1,500 a month?
$1,400.
There you go.
$1,420 a month. So you're very close, Chris. Very close, unfortunately.
Yep. So just have a conversation with him and try to see if you can find somewhere. If you can't get out of this car, there's plenty of other things you can clean up. But you'll get it. I can tell in the tone of your voice, you've got resolve. You're going to win. It's just, you've got so hung up on the car that you forgot about some of the other things you can clean up, including that credit card thing you're referring to earlier. So you'll be fine.
Thank you.
Hebrews 12:11 says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, like right now as I'm talking to you about this, but painful.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the second part of that verse. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it, trained by that very discipline. It's not pleasant at the time, but I'm telling you, you will win, and you'll look back at this time and know that God was building your character. Okay?
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. I feel inspired.
Good. Thanks, Veronica. All right, folks, that's awesome. I mean, that's just, I love the tone. You can just tell when a winner calls in. When a winner calls in, they accept responsibility. Listen, there's sowing and reaping. The decisions we make have consequences. And of course, my story, those of you who have been listening for any time. And we pay a price and we climb out of it. And then we give God the glory through the story. And we had to climb out, and then we say, but God sustained me through the whole thing. He gave me the wisdom to do it. He gave me the resolve. He gave me the peace. He gave me the comfort. He even gave me the discipline, and I choose to give him glory for it. So pretty cool. I hope Veronica calls back soon and lets us know how that's going. Well, you heard me earlier talking about the stewardship.com newsletter. We do want to give you those tips and the biblical education and the inspiration. So be sure to sign up for that at stewardship.com. Again, it's the stewardship.com newsletter to get that encouragement that you're looking for. And if you ever have a question for me or for our team about anything that you've heard on this show, feel free to email me at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Folks, we've been talking all about true stewardship. Managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory. God bless you.